This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome to Health and Living with me, T. Xiao Yik. This is our Mind Matters show today, and we're talking about stressed parents and anxious children. According to Oxford University Press, children in the UK chose the word anxiety as their word of the year for 2021. And now we're in a new year. How will 2022 play out for parents and children here in Malaysia as they face quite a lot of challenges, including a completely different schedule for the new school year, many other issues related to their physical and mental well-being as we still continue to fight the pandemic. So today I'm speaking to Puan Aniza Nawawi, who is a mother and a resident at Taman Bukit Subang here in Klang Valley, to discuss what parents like herself and others in her community have been struggling with when it comes to their children's well-being, their children's mood and behavior throughout the pandemic, and also joining her, Teo Ruyi, a clinical psychologist from Thrive Well, who hopefully can chime in terms of what support families need to cope with this year, especially families from middle and lower income communities. Thank you so much for joining me today, Puan Aniza and Ruyi. Puan Aniza, can we start with you first? Maybe you can tell us a bit about yourself.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Hi, everybody. My name is Aniza binti Muhammad Nawawi. Basically, I have been known here as Puan Yo because I'm the eldest daughter in the family, so they will call me Yo. I'm 48 years old. I just celebrate my birthday on the 15th January.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you. And then very lucky that I have been through all this year with the good help and surrounding with good people. At the age 20, I was work as a bank teller. And then in 2004, I get my first children. Then I, as a mother, you know, when we have a baby, there's a lot of, too much of concern for the baby. Mm. So I get the opportunity to be a full-time mother, but still working as what the thing that I can do. Then I've been blessed with three children, age 18, 15, and 12. One boy, two girls.
All right. And are you still working today?
I'm still working with the community.
Tell me a bit about you, the community that you live in, Puan Aniza.
I live in the community. At my area here, there's a lot of housing. They'll be separate with the... by the name, by the flower. Every area, they have a rumah flat, apartment. Mm-hmm. My area itself is almost 400 pintu.
All right.
400 family. So we have a very good community here because some of them dari pemindahan, rumah setinggan ke rumah flat. And then diorang membeli ada yang daripada kampung yang sama. The teenagers are growing up, and then the surrounding is very harmony for me. So the parents also, they know what they need for the children, so they try the best for the children.
All right. What has been the pandemic like for you and other parents like this? Has it been difficult? What have been some stressful things about it?
You know, this pandemic is very unpredictable, you know. Very, very, just the broken English is very unsangkable, you know. So we tak sangka betul the things will be happen. We thought it's only like the flooded or the economic crisis, you know. We thought it's just like that. When our Prime Minister say it's happened from end of the 2019, going to 2020, then we know that we are in a bad situation. So the stress is going to come up with our mind and our feeling. So me, during that time, I was talking to my husband. Actually, what happened, I cakap, sebab I thought in 2020, we have the fly car, or the big bangunan yang tinggi-tinggi, then we can fly all over the world. But this time I cakap, we have to turn back. We have to back in basic, you know. And then we are never prepared. I tak buat cucuk tanam, I tak jaga ayam. I'm not bela the ayam, you know. So I tak tahu macam mana. I cakap, I'm lost. I cakap. Then of course lah, the financial is there, you know. I cakap, we are not keep the good enough money. Then if kalau kita ada duit, if we got the money also, is it we have power to buy? So I told my husband, please do not mention our problem to the kids. Because we don't know what the kids thinking and what the kids will be feel about the situation. Because we cannot go out from the house. You know, 700 square feet house. Can you imagine? Even ourselves also, 7 days a week in the house also very stressed.
Do you think your children were stressed?
Yes, of course. Because they ask me, Bonda, when is the time we can go out? You are bluffing us. I don't think so. The whole world like this. So what will be happen to us? Mati oh, dalam rumah saja. So I cakap, no, the house is very good place. Are you sure? Dia cakap, yes, I'm sure. How sure you can tell us that we are very happy in the house? Okay, you name it what you want. So one day he say, okay, I want takoyaki tonight for my dinner. Okay, fine. I was keep on thinking, you know, how I want to do. So I just open the order with the neighbor who want to eat takoyaki. 5 pieces, RM5.50. So I will deliver their house. So I go and get somebody who can make the takoyaki. I say I want to sell the thing to the neighborhood. And then the takoyaki seller say, what do you want? Do you want the commission or do you want the takoyaki? So I cakap, I want the takoyaki 2 set. So I reach my target. On that night, my daughter and my son eat the takoyaki.
You made
so
them
I said,
happy.
Wow, you can manage. Yeah, you can manage. Yes. I said, of course, mother can do everything. I know, action sikit lah.
And then you, like many other parents, you were just trying to make your children happy, right? And to help them see why it's important to stay safe, but that there's still something to look forward to be hopeful about. Rui, let's turn to you. I mean, the kind of stressors that Puan Aniza described, families all over were going through it together, right? Suddenly forced into lockdown, not knowing what to do on a daily basis. Now, this is a mental health show. Why is it important to look at the impact of the lockdown and all those changes in the context of mental health of parents and children?
Right, right. You know, when we talk about the pandemic, this create a lot of impact towards all of us, including the parents and children especially, right? Because, you know, just like what Puan Aniza mentioned, it's isolation. Everyone is being locked out. Everyone in the same house, everyone routines is disrupted, right? Previously, parents are the one that are going out to work, the children are going out for schools, and they have their time to play with their friends, you know, their social circles changes, basically, right? And when all of us are in the same house, sometimes we do notice the differences between all of us. And here, now we are in the same house, we need to kind of like face it instead of, you know, like perhaps last time you can just go out and have fun with your friends or talk to your friends or just work, yeah, to distract. But now you're all in the same house, you need to face the conflict or the differences together. Yeah, but I'm glad to hear from Puan Aniza, she managed to kind of like fulfill her children's happiness as well as, you know, what they would like to have, like takoyaki, but not all family would manage to do that, right? And that might create impact towards the children as well, especially when parents are not able to manage or regulate the stress. Same goes to children who could not regulate their stress and anxiety, that this affect each other, right? And sometimes even abuse might happen, right? Verbal or even physical might happen when everyone is locked down at the same house. So that's definitely will create some impact towards the children's future as well.
What are you worried about, Rui, when we're looking at longer term impact on their mental health?
To be honest, I find that it really depends on how do we talk about it or communicate about it later on or during the time itself, right? Because from what I could see is that for those families who are more resilient, they talk about stuff, right? They communicate about their feelings. And for those who do validate each other's feelings, right? That's very, very essential. Yeah, but you know, especially when we do not communicate or we invalidate certain feelings, that might create some even harm sometimes towards the other parties, right? Because when we do not validate, we just say that, you know, I'm stressed as well. You know, it's kind of like we just push away the other party's feelings or the other family member's feelings. They have nowhere to go. Like they do not have enough social support, right? So, you know, whenever we talk about stress, I would really like to share with everyone here about, you know, three components that would really help all of us, especially during stress moment: activities, connection, and emotional check-in. So ACE, it's like ACE. So we need to have activities. Like Aniza, she mentioned about, oh, what do you want to have, right? Like, oh, we want takoyaki and everyone is happy. It's like a takoyaki night, perhaps, right? There's some activities there. There's some element there. Or we do Zumba together, even have a movie night. Or, you know, doing something together, activities would be helpful. Connection. Yes, we are physically distancing, but we still need connection. Connection either with our family or friends or someone that we trusted. And just like I mentioned about, you know, emotional check-in. And that's when I mentioned about communication is very, very important. It's not just communicate with others, but we also communicate with ourselves. We need to check in on how do we feel. And we need to regulate our emotion. Yeah. For example, we could do some journaling, express our feelings through arts or even music, you know, and we try to kind of like understand and accept that, you know, yeah, it's really not easy. It's really difficult to go through all of these. And it's very uncertain. Of course, I would feel frustrated when it's uncertain during this kind of situation.
After the break, are the kids all right? We'll find out from Puan Aniza Nawawi how her children coped with the lockdown and the pandemic, and more from clinical psychologist Teo Rui about supporting families and communities through their mental health challenges. Stay tuned to Mind Matters. We'll be right back on Health and Living, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Health and Living with me, T. Xiao Yik. On Mind Matters today, the kids are anxious and the parents are stressed. So earlier we heard from Puan Aniza Nawawi, a resident of Taman Bukit Subang community, and she's a parent as well. She talked about the disruptive effects of the lockdown and how she tried to help her children maintain normalcy at home as much as possible. And Teo Rui, a clinical psychologist from ThriveWell, also joins us to discuss how these disruptions have a short and long-term impact on the mental health of children and parents. Now, Puan Aniza, what about your kids? So as you said, they were feeling isolated, they were bored, they were uncertain about what was going on. And as MCO berpanjangan for months and months, you know, how did they cope? What kind of changes did you see in their behavior and their moods?
If we talk about that, on the 18th March 2020, when the government said that we have to lock down, I thought it's only 1 or 2, 3 weeks only. So for me, it doesn't matter. Kauti ma, like that. Then when the government said the school will be online, I was keep on wondering how the online situation, you know. When they come to the kids, they was ask me how we don't have all the things. We don't have the computer. We have only 2 phones. So I sit down again with my husband. Luckily, during that time, we have the EPF, you know. So my husband said, we have no idea what will happen, but we have to give all these things to them. Then we have to take the portion from the EPF. then we have to buy the phone for them. So I cakap it's not good for them to give the phone during this during that time diorang baru for 14 and 11 and 17. Yeah. I cakap it's not good lah for the phone for orang satu. We don't know what they will look. But my husband said, but the government said we have online. So online we have all the electric things. So we have to do. So I told them, okay, never mind. We buy for them satu orang satu barang. That means the handphone. Mm. And then we have to go and find another thing. What is that, you know? Printer. Because we have to print out the things. So we go buy the motorbike. We only have the motorbike. We go to buy motorbike to the Plaza Alam Sentra. And what the government give us the money, we go and get one. The cheapest one. Mm. Cheapest also 400 plus, man.
Yeah.
Then the problem come on the data also. Mm. So every children, they need one phone. So if we put 10 ringgit, satu subject saja just finish.
Yeah.
They have 8 subject, but not like every day 8 subject, but they have the timetable. Eh? But 3 kids, 30 ringgit ready. Yeah. So we have the problem there. We how lah, I cakap. So we get the 30 ringgit for the unlimited one. Mm. 30 ringgit times 3 is almost 100 already.
Yeah.
So during that time, for the handphone only, 5 times 30 is 150 ringgit. We have to take care about that. Then we say, never mind. We got telur in the house also is good enough. We have to take care about this thing first. Yeah. I'm sorry, Ms. Shoaib and Luigi, if during this session, if I was crying or what, you know. Mm. But it's happened, you know. The stress is there. How I want to get the 30 ringgit every month? We have to come back, berdoa for Allah to give us the strength, thinking of the out of the box. Then as a mother, we have been very creative. Husband and wife, because we are promised for the very beginning, we never mentioned about it in front of the children. We just follow the flow. So the children, they never get the stress in that particular part.
Yeah.
For myself. But in other community, I think they have a problem. Because one of the family member will come to me, Yong, do you have any extra 30 ringgit? Can you help me? So I say, I can give you. But you have to the solution to return back to me. And then I can help another person. Even the kids not see what happened, but in our adult feeling is there. From that moment, I know the worst anxiety. I know the worst mental health.
So you tried to protect them from all these problems. But how about for them? They didn't get to see their friends. How are they doing?
For my kids, they never see what's my problem. And then for their problem itself, you know, the kids always love to run, love to climb. And then the very, very happening time is during the raining time. They love to wonder, can you give us to play in the rain? You know, because they know I can give them permission. But during the 18, from the 18 March 2020, they never get all that things.
Yeah.
So I told them, since you cannot meet each other, why don't you meet online? Because we learn already how to meet the Zoom, all the things. So we meet online. So from that moment, I thought this is the solution, you know, but not the solution itself. They are changed. They are changed from the online gaming. They know how to play the game online, so they meet the game friend from the online. So there's another problem that I'm facing, which my daughter and my son, their habit in sleeping is totally out. So I have another problem, because when the 8 o'clock in the morning, they should go for the online class, but they all simply sleep because they are mengantuk already, sleepy already because of the online.
I mean, really looking at the problems and the challenges that families face, especially lower-income communities, are so vast. We're talking about very basic essentials like devices and connectivity and data, which parents are struggling to find on a daily basis. How do we even talk about mental health when these problems are not even addressed yet?
Yeah, you're right when you mentioned about these, because just like you mentioned, you know, their priority would definitely focus more on the basic needs first, right? And mental health might not be something that they would like to prioritize first, right? But actually, they are interrelated when we want to talk about it, because when we talk about, you know, yes, we want to, you know, earn money, we want to find resources, but when we are too stressed, when we are too anxious, it does affect us in terms of doing this. Likewise, when we are not able to, you know, sustain, you know, the basic needs or put the food on the table, definitely does affect our, you know, our mental health as well. So just now you did mention about what am I worried about if we look at the long-term impact. I guess my worry would be like whether they would then seek for, you know, mental health services, and that's definitely not their priority, right? So that's why we want to really, really focus on community mental health, right? That's why Thrivewell has conducted support groups for the mothers, especially because mothers take care of, you know, of the children, and they also kind of like,
they're just finding like, all the solutions, right?
Correct,
they are solving
correct.
All the problems.
Yeah, it's just like Juan Aniza say, mothers can do everything, right? And they do, you know, they can influence the husband as well in a way, right? They kind of like are the mediator. So when we manage to, you know, share some skills with them, right? And they share it with their friends, they support their friends, right? And actually that could also impact the family itself. So I think, you know, community mental health could be something that we want to emphasize on so that we can actually have a greater impact compared to, you know, individual therapy sessions or individual mental health.
Bon Aniza, what kind of skills did you learn from the program with Thrivewell?
I learned how to manage myself, how to manage my stress. Bohong lah, I tak stress. Tipu. When I stress, I just go and take my bath. I open the shower and I cry. I cry during my shower because I just mumbling to myself. Why this happened? Is it I'm doing the bad thing? Of course, I will doing the bad thing. Is the God written back to me? You know, it's we question, if our question back ourselves.
Yeah.
Then I just sit down and get my eyes sembahyang. Then we pray. We are reading the Quran. Then I say, I cannot blame. Because we know all this thing happen, it will be happen. So I learned through the Thrivewell how to manage the anger, how to manage the community, how to manage the family itself, and then how to overcome ourselves. When is the me time during the pandemic? I don't think so they have a me time during the pandemic, because we have to think other people's problem. We have no time for that. In the 700 square feet punya area, we have to think about the food must have on the table. Because we know if orang perut lapar, they're very angry. Then the time of sleep also run already. And then how? We cannot go out. If we go out, they always takut-takutkan kita orang. The kuman is everywhere lah. The police is everywhere lah. The saman is everywhere. Of course, we are very takut, you know.
Yeah.
And then I get the initiative. I put inside my WhatsApp for the gang in the Bukit Subang here. If anything you want to talk, talk to me. I give my ears. But sometimes people, you know, they are like to judge us. Sometimes they have to manipulate what we say. That's why as a counselor, we have to be very careful. Sometimes we say like this, they are thinking like that. Sometimes we give this opinion, then they say to another person that we talk bad about them, you know. So just coming to the mental health, actually I'm very taboo about the significance of word gila, you know, G-I-L-A. I'm very taboo about that. I don't like that thing. But we have to change it.
Do you think that the people in your community understand mental health a little bit better now?
They are still afraid to talk about their problem with people.
Yeah.
We are still afraid. Because of the orang kata in the apostrophe, mulut jahat lah. You know? Because sometimes certain people, when we talk about our problem, they will say, you are gila lah. Why you think like that lah? You no need to think lah like that. Something like that. When people judge the problem of the person have been judging, they have no idea and they have no, orang kata, keyakinan hidup. We supposed not to mention that, you know. We just say, okay, what's the problem? Okay, I don't have money. Okay, come, we go and find the solution, you know.
What about you, Puan Aniza? You hear other people's problems. You try to solve their problems. What about yourself? Do you feel that you have learned how to manage your feelings? Who can you talk to when you are feeling stressed?
Since I cannot already, when people overjudge me, I never talk to person. I just keep it by myself. But what I learned through the trifair, I just manage because I like to reading, you know, and I like to writing. So I write on the piece of paper. After that, I will crumble the paper and then I throw away. So it seems like I'm throwing away my problem. Then I have no problem. So I'm happy what I'm doing. So if other person they have a problem, I write the problem also on the paper. So I just do orang kata macam mapping map how I want to get the solution. Okay, for example, rumah anak yatim perlukan makanan. Oh, so I can get the makanan from the adult and from the NGO, you know. Yeah. Alhamdulillah, the whole family of me sehat. Only my kakak ipar saja, they passed away because of the COVID at the age 47 during that time. She was my best friend also. I never meet her until she closed the eyes because of the pandemic. It's come again, the feeling inside me, which I was very, very angry. I'm very, very sad. Almost a month, I cry because of all the things.
Rui, this is what you mean by community mental health. Then, just helping individuals to learn how to solve problems, how to reach out to one another.
Yeah, and just like I mentioned just now, to validate, right? Just like Kak Aniza said, a lot of people tends to judge, right, and invalidates others' feelings, right, saying that, you know, no, don't be sad, everything will be all right, you know, that's invalidating actually. But we create a safe space for someone to talk about their problems, their issues, their feelings and thinking, and perhaps even come up with some. Sometimes listening is just enough, but sometimes we need some solution. And that's when we can discuss together as a community to come up with, you know, helpful solution.
And what about more specialized mental health services, Rui? Do communities like in Taman Bukit Subang have access to such support?
Right. Because yes, definitely there are government, you know, institution like Klinik Kesihatan, right? And of course, in Malaysia, we also have this Mentari, right? Which is known as Pusat Kesihatan Mental Masyarakat, yeah, in Malaysia. But a lot of people are not known about it. Even me myself, I just know about this when I study in my master. So I do hope that people would, you know, have more awareness on these. And of course, the usual places that people can access to would be MMHA and NYASA, would be other institutions that provide mental health services to the communities as well. Yeah.
Puan Aniza, if we look at 2022, anak dah balik sekolah, I think. Is there anything you're worried about for them this year? And what do you hope for them for this year?
It's come to the thing bila orang kata you can go to school. For the first time, I'm very happy. Because my children, I rasa dah tertinggal banyak for the all the subject, you know. Until my SPM candidate, my lovely anak lelaki, they drop for the 2 paper. I'm very, very sad because my target, you know, every mother have a target. I want you to bring me 6 A's. I want you to become like this and like that. But when the pandemic time, they destroy all my impian, you know. It's not my anak impian, you know. You know how selfish I am? You see how selfish I am. Not my anak impian, my impian, you know. So when the pandemic come, I say, oh, I have to get the harsh word say is I want to get lost everything lah. What lantak pergilah, what happen lah. So when my son say I want to drop 2 subject, which is art and accounts, I was very, very frustrated. After that, I said, why lah? I cakap, this is online time lah. You can learn from the online system. Then he said to me, I don't want to be rude to you, but if you manage to sit down and learn through the online, you go and try. Ya lah, Syed. I tak boleh buat lah. I tidur lah, Syed. I cannot faham lah apa orang ajar online. So I know. If anak pun tak boleh belajar online, kena ada orang dekat depan, apa ketah lagi anak I kan? So I cakap never mind. I open my heart. I told him never mind. Because learning process is not stop when you pass or fail the SPM. Learning process is until the end of our life. At the other life, you know. So all the while until Allah say this is the time you have to go, then you have to learn. It's not learning. And then after that, when they ask to go to the sekolah, I'm very happy. But in that same time, the conflict is there also, you know. How I want to overcome the conflict, because setiap kali my daughter and my son pergi sekolah, sekolah 5 hari seminggu. Okay, Isnin, Monday to Friday. Hari Monday to Tuesday saja pergi sekolah. Another 3 days sudah selesema lah, batuk lah, and then cannot go to school. So, I pun rasa macam I no need lah to send my daughter and son pergi sekolah. But I'm afraid that my daughter and son will take it for granted, you know. And then take it as a chance to, we are not say that we are not trust our son and daughter, but children thinking are very creative, you know. Since they know they cannot be sesama, and then orang kata panas sedikit, the teacher will say, cannot come to school. You know, this kid, they always panas waktu pagi, between 5 o'clock until 10, you know, the temperature tiba-tiba panas. After that, 10 o'clock, I bawa dia balik dari sekolah, they all jumping like a monkey already. So I cakap, you tadi cakap demam, now you So come, I hantar you balik sekolah. I cannot. The teacher say we cannot go to school if you like this. And then proceed another 2 days.
Satu minggu dah lepas.
And then we have to pay for the bus fees. Actually, the problem is there. We cannot solve the problem. That's why we need TRIFEL, Perkama, to teach the community, from the community, the person inside the community, how to overcome the feeling. Because I noticed that this pandemic is not for the 2 years. We have to live, I belajar istilah endemic, yeah? You know? We have to live together. So, I told my children, whatever it is, I panjang umur ke or pendek umur, you have to follow the rules, you know, follow the heart, follow your heart. And then if you think that is the best way you do for your life, you go on. Nobody wrong, nobody can judge you. You follow your heart. If one day you think that you are lost, you come back from the, orang kata, kembali ke asal. If you think you have to do this, you have to do that. Please stop thinking what other people think about you. I learned a lot from the pandemic. Even I rasa macam it's very hard, it's a burden to me. Even my bapa sendiri, I have a father and mother, you know, 87 years old father, and then mother almost 70 years old. My father say, are you sure this is a penyakit sampai bertahun-tahun cannot go out from the house? I was during the communist time, during the Japanese war, during the British time. I always boleh keluar saja. You tipu I, dia cakap. I cakap, no father, this is kuman. This is virus. Virus we tak nampak. But during the war time, kita nampak who is our enemies. But this one we tak nampak. So we have to follow. I'm stressed. My father 82 years old also stress. Even I yang 48 pun lagilah stress. Even the kids also stress.
Rui, maybe we can wrap up with final word from you. 2022, like Puan Aniza said, will continue to be challenging, right? We're still living with the disease. The problems have not gone away. What kind of support will parents and children continue to need?
So I'm glad to already hear a little bit from Kak Aniza, which is very, very important. When we talk about needs, we always want to, you know, hear from the party itself. But here I would just, you know, kind of like share my own personal observation as well as suggestion based on the experience I have working with the community. I would say that for parents, social support is still very, very important. Yeah, especially, you know, peer support group, this kind of stuff would be very, very helpful. Because, you know, most of the cut will say like, oh, during the pandemic, they can't talk to their friends. And actually, when they are talking to their friends or just, you know, laughing together, that does help them a lot, right? Because they do face a lot of stress. And when there's someone that could listen to them or even just laughing together, that helps them very, very much. Yeah. Of course, Puan Aniza mentioned about me time. Me time is very, very helpful for parents as well. Sometimes they do need to set, you know, maybe 15 to 30 minutes for themselves, right? Because they have been working for all day long and they need to handle the kids. It's really not easy. And I do hope that they could, you know, take some 15 to 30 minutes time to just do something that they like, yeah, to take care of themselves more. And as of children, you know, children do express through play. And they do connect through play as well. Since it's considered right now it's endemic, they could play together, especially in the community itself, right? There is some facilities that they have. But of course, we need to adhere to SOP, but there is a chance that they could play with each other. In terms of education, it's very, very important. But just like what we hear from Kak Aniza, right? It's difficult for children as well because it's been a year plus that they didn't really go to school. Sometimes they just went for a week and locked down again or, you know, the class cancel again. So there's a lot of uncertainty. They do feel anxious. Sometimes they also feel weird when they go back to school because they, at times they don't know how to connect back with their friends, right? So, or they are afraid of teacher as well sometimes, right? Oh, teachers might judge me. I didn't do homework, you know, all this while. What would teachers say about me, right? So I think parents need to really communicate with the children, understand them, at the same time, encourage and empower them that, you know, yes, I certainly understand that this is not easy, but, you know, we can work things together. Maybe, you know, we can set a time to revise things together after school or at night. I think doing things together would really, really help children. I do know that it will take more time for parents, but it is helpful. And for me, I do hope that there is someone that could do something for the children in the community as well. For example, you know, having a space for the children to, a learning space perhaps, to create back the awareness of the importance of, you know, learning together. Maybe not really together, but the space and the environment would be helpful as well. So, yeah.
All right. Thank you so much for speaking to me today. I've been speaking to Teo Rui, clinical psychologist from ThriveWell, and of course, Pon Aniza Nawawi, a parent and a resident of Taman Bukit Subang, who's really been so honest and sharing so much about how she and her family have been coping and how she's been helping her community as well. This has been Mind Matters on Health and Living BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.